You'll find engaging illustrations, colorful layouts, and helpful charts in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 Visual Edition. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 Visual Edition. We've talked about the nuns, the religiously unaffiliated, here on Issues Etc. for several years now. One question that we've never really addressed is, why do they give that answer? None of the above when asked about their religious affiliation. What are their reasons? Are they a monolithic group? Are they mostly atheists or agnostics? What are their reasons given for saying, I don't affiliate with any religious group? We're going to try and get some of those answers to those questions in the next few minutes of Issues Etc. as we talk about a new survey on America's religiously unaffiliated that asks questions like, well, why don't you affiliate with any religion? Is it because you don't believe in God, or that religion is irrelevant to you, or that you have questions about religious teachings, other questions as well? Pastor Mark Wood joins us on this Friday afternoon. He's Executive Director of Witness and Outreach for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Mark, welcome back.
Well, thank you. It's good to be with you again.
This group that are usually called the religiously unaffiliated are sometimes called the nuns. Are they a relatively new demographic on the American religious landscape?
Well, since the term nun, which is N-O-N-E, not to be confused with the Roman Catholic nuns, the people who serve, it's been around as long as there's been surveys. The term is actually just referring to people who either don't have any faith in God at all, you're atheists, agnostics, or people who claim to have faith but no affiliation with a religious organization. So they check none. And so it's always been there, but it's been a relatively small percentage of respondents.
How do we account for their emergence?
I think there's a number of factors that come into this. Why have nuns increased so much? Part of them are sociological. You've got our culture has changed considerably over the last three generations. The middle of the 20th century, we had all kinds of fraternal organizations, and people belonged to groups. They valued community, and they wanted to be affiliated, and they wanted to be members. That declined rather significantly. Starting about 1975, we see attendance in organizations like the Rotary and the Kiwanis down over 50% by the year 2000. Since 2000, like the Rotary Club is down another 20%, JCs have dropped 64%, Masons down 76%. And it's a reflection of what's happening in our culture as people live more individualistic lives and don't value belonging to organizations. They don't value being part of communities. And the church is, unfortunately, a reflection of that cultural attitude.
What does the new Pew poll tell us about kind of the diversity of views among the nuns?
This is a follow-up to a poll that was done in 2014, where we saw this increase in the nuns, a really statistically significant increase. From 2007, when Pew did a previous study, there were only 16% of respondents fell into the nun category. By 2014, only 7 years later, that had jumped to 23%. And so they were thinking, well, why is this? What's behind this? And this latest survey was particularly asking questions of those people who had previously reported themselves as nuns. And they fall into three categories. You have your atheists, people who flat out say, I just don't believe that there is a God. The agnostics, who they come in different flavors, but essentially are saying they're not convinced that there is a God. They just don't know. And then people who claim to be religious, maybe even Christians, but don't like religious organizations. And so this poll looks at that and say, well, tell me more. You know, what's really driving your perspective here? And it's a rather interesting study because, you know, some things you won't be surprised at. For instance, people who identify themselves as atheists, as a subcategory of none, 89% said they don't believe in God. Well, maybe it's surprising that, you know, 11% have some belief in God but still call themselves atheists, but it follows pretty closely. I think the number that jumped out at me was the people who say, I have no religious belief in particular. They say, I don't like religious organizations. It's that old reply, I can be religious, I can have faith without a church. I don't like organized religion. That's that kind of response.
So the nuns are not necessarily atheistic or even agnostic.
That's correct. Though the atheists and agnostics make up the vast majority of the nuns, there's a rather significant subgrouping of people who are, how do they like to put it, spiritual without being religious.
Go into a little more detail about the various reasons that people claim to be none of the above when they are asked on religious view surveys.
So some of the things that the Pew Research pointed to was a large number of atheists and agnostics question religious teachings, but only about half the people who say that they're nuns question religious teachings. There's also a rather significant number of people across the board. So this is the atheists, the agnostics, and the not anything in particular, almost across the board about the same. Statistically, half the people said, I don't like the positions that churches take on social and political issues. As I mentioned, the atheists, of course, say, I don't believe in God. Agnostics, only about a third of the people responding say they don't believe in God at all. And of the people who are not affiliated or nothing in particular, only about 20%. So, you know, one in five say, I just don't believe in God. They have some kind of belief in a God, but not necessarily a Christian God. Those are the primary drivers in what's behind the nuns.
Do we know if the nuns trend demographically toward a certain profile, age, race, etc.?
The research indicates that this is a particularly more common occurrence among millennials, and it follows sociologically because millennials are not particularly interested in belonging to organizations. The way some people put it, where in the past, people were, say, like the greatest generation, even boomers, were willing to belong to organizations and engage in organizations as part of community. It was more of a locality mentality. I'm part of this physical community. But the trend seems to be moving more towards what's called a tribal mentality, where people identify more with a cause or an interest rather than a physical community. And so I think we see this working out in, say, groups like the LGBTQ community. They're not organized geographically. They're organized around a cause or a perspective. And technology has enabled people to do this in ways in the past you weren't able to connect. Locality was the connection point. We're seeing that we've lost that dynamic and a new dynamic is taking place.
What do we know about the nuns' religious background? Disaffected Christians or no particular religious background? What do we know?
This particular research didn't get too deeply into that. What we do know from other research is it cuts across the board. Many of the millennials have some exposure to the Christian teachings and traditions and have dropped out, so we would classify them as de-churched. It's the next generation that has really no experience with the church. They've been purely unchurched. And so that creates some interesting opportunities for us, because as we reach out to the de-churched, we want to take some things into consideration and approach them through evangelism in one way. But for those who have never had any experience with the church, we have to approach them a different way. And so most of the nuns at this juncture are more the de-churched than the flat-out unchurched. But I think as time goes on, you're going to see that that's going to change, because people who are nuns now are having children and raising children outside of the church. So in a generation, I can see that shifting, where the majority of nuns are really totally unchurched.
Why are the nuns proportionally a growing group?
Partly because of those factors from the culture that I mentioned, where people don't belong, they don't see the value of belonging. And unfortunately, the perspective, whether fair or not, is that the church is a social organization like any other social organization, and so people are just not interested in belonging. Secondly, if the church struggles with the issue of decline, the tendency is to be more inwardly focused than outwardly focused. So the church is kind of circling the wagons. How do we continue to function as a church with declining membership, fewer resources? We've lost the urgency of outreach. So if we want to turn this around, it's really going to get turned around when we get outreach focused and we equip people for more effective evangelism, that speaks to the context of our world today. And these are the things that we're trying to do in the Office of National Mission, is equipping congregations and Lutherans to engage the world as it is today and not rely on the approaches and strategies that worked in a different world where membership and organizations were part of our American culture.
What does the growth of the nuns say generally about the changing religious makeup in America?
It tells me that we need to rethink how we present ourselves as the church and what membership means. And, you know, if membership is just part of a social organization or a country club, people are going to continue to lose interest. If membership is understood of being something more robust, something deeper, something meaningful, really, if you want to put it in the terms that the researchers use, if membership is more than just being on the roster of the church, but instead being identified as they use the term tribe, in other words, it's an identity, it's a cause, it's an interest that I have in common with other people. This is going to be a real challenge for individual congregations because the people that may be most interested in engaging with them may not be locally present. How do we reach people who aren't locally present? How do we connect them to worshiping communities that are outside our geographical area? So we have to approach this as the church, the big C church, and say, how do we reach the people in our world today in a way that will connect them with, you know, a local altar and pulpit so they can receive the gifts of God where they're located?
What does confessional Lutheranism, in terms of its teaching and its practice, have to offer the religiously unaffiliated?
I see this as a great opportunity for us because what people are truly looking for, what they're not finding in other places like the big box churches, we have. The so-called tribe, where we have an identity in Christ. We have his gifts in word and sacrament that transcend the ordinary daily life that so many people are disaffected with. There's always a desire to belong. So belonging is different in the world today than it has been before, but there's still this innate desire to belong. And what more needful message is there for the world today than to belong to the people of God, to belong to Christ? And so these people who are lost, these people who are wandering around, we have something to offer them that's different than evangelical Christianity. And remember, I mentioned half the people responding, whether they're atheist, agnostic, or just nothing in particular. Half of them are upset about social and political issues. You know, our understanding of the kingdom of right and kingdom of left and how that comes into play is something confessional Lutherans can bring to the picture to say, wait a minute, this isn't about whether you're red or blue. It isn't about these issues that divide people. We're bringing a message of life and salvation, of hope and peace in a very troubled world and to very troubled people. And this is our time as confessional Lutherans to bring the gospel that we know so clearly, that is so muddied in other places, to people who are really turned off by the church.
Finally then, Pastor Wood, what can you tell us about your new evangelism emphasis, Everyone His Witness?
Well, Everyone His Witness is intended to equip individual believers to engage the people that God's put into their lives. So it draws on the Lutheran teaching of vocation, with the understanding that God has put us in the place at the time and with the people of his choosing so that we can be witnesses of Jesus. So we don't have to go out and create artificial relationships. We don't have to knock on the doors of strangers. God's already put people into our lives who do not know the good news of Jesus. And as we look at these studies, we're finding there are more and more of those people already in our lives. And it doesn't matter if we live in a suburban community, an urban community, a rural community, unchurched, lost people are all around us. Some are calling themselves nuns, some are calling themselves other things, but God has given us the opportunity to share the gospel right where we're at. And so Everyone His Witness focuses on doing that, and it does it in a couple different ways. One is a workshop that teaches some pretty basic ideas about how to witness in today's world. But then the second part of the program provides resources through a website that says, how do you do this very specifically? And so we have resources, for example, of how to witness to Mormons or how to witness to Muslims. And the next one coming out speaks to the nuns very clearly. How do we witness to de-churched adult children? So parents and grandparents of children or grandchildren who have left the church and now call themselves nuns, we have a resource that specifically addresses how do we reach them with the gospel.
You can find out more about Everyone His Witness at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Mark Wood is Executive Director of Witness and Outreach for the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. Pastor Wood, thanks for your time.
Well, it was a pleasure being with you today.
On the other side of the break, we are going to be listening to bits of a sermon preached by Vision Casting leader Paul Scanlon on the power of imaginary friends. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith will be our guest.
Bring all the lovers to the fold, 'cause no one is gonna lose their soul.
You'll find engaging illustrations, colorful layouts, and helpful charts in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 Visual Edition. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 Visual Edition.
Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're committed to increasing LCMS faculty and staff members. This is Dr. Daniel Gard, president of Concordia University Chicago. If you are a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod with excellent professional credentials, please consider applying for our faculty or staff family. Current openings are posted at cuchicago.edu/HR.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, Chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.